This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Icon Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia,
Justine Hughes,
and Augie Angersano,
as we break open the Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 6 of season 11 of the Catholic Influencers podcast. We're here for another week. We are excited to be talking about scripture, but first, we've all got some stories of funny things that little ones in our lives say to us. Justine.
Yes.
Little ones as in kids, right?
Yes, children.
Unless your pets talk.
Yeah, my pet talks. My pet talks. It's a little one. It talks. Yeah.
Father Rob, you have to be very clear. I've got six nieces and nephews, and I love them all, and I kiss their cheeks as much as I want to. One of them, Adriana, she has my heart. She's hilarious. We go to the same church for
Mass. Is she your favorite?
No, I did not say that. Let it be known on record, I did not say that. No, we go to the same church, and it's like she senses the presence, our presence, when we arrive sometimes late, and she will just like flick her eyes back, and she'll see, and she'll give us a big wave. But just over the weekend, she came up to, I wait, and it's usually around like the offertory time or the peace sign that she'll come and sit next to me. She'll escape her mum, come sit next to me. And she came up to me. She's like, I just want to let you know that I bought shoes like yours, but mine are purple. It's like, I love you so, so much. And on another occasion, she's also given me a hug. I haven't seen her in a while. I gave her a big hug. She's like, you smell like baked beans. I love her.
She's my what do baked beans smell like? The one with the tinned ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you were cooking before.
I'm like, oh, hi. Yeah, I feel great.
Thank you.
How about you guys? You got any cute nieces, nephews around?
I do. I have a cute little nephew. His name is Remy, and he is nearly 2. And he's starting to talk. Well, he's been talking for a little while, and every time I see him, it's like he's learned new words, and he can tell me my name like by looking at a photo of me. Like, he's extremely smart. But I love, my husband Daniel babysat him a little while back, and his whole point of that babysitting hour was to teach him to sing and to get him to say the name of our band, which is Unlimited. But he can't say Unlimited. He says Atid. And so he just says, he thinks he gets it right every time. Like, it's really cute. Like, he like screams, Atid, Atid. And I was like, so that's my story about Remy.
That's called indoctrination, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Which is really the primary role of aunties and uncles.
That's right.
I think.
Oh, sweet. I have stories like with my nephew, but I won't talk. I'll talk about some primary school kids that I spoke to. And I walk when I talk. I'm Maltese.
You walk a lot.
I do walk a lot. And you can tell like when we're in the studio and the poor camera crew have to move the camera left to right. But I was talking to some primary school kids, which I don't often do. I speak to secondary mostly. And these, in the middle of my talk, one of these, like, maybe grade 4 students stands up, the audacity, stands up in the middle of my talk, puts her hands on her hips and says, "Can you please stop walking? You're getting me dizzy." And she sits back down.
She was Maltese for sure.
And I'm thinking, okay. And so
you've
I slowed
down. You've just been told by a grade 4.
Oh, my goodness.
You've
like,
been lawyered.
Fine, I won't walk. Let's listen to our sponsors.
Icon Ministry wants to reach out to the Alpha generation. Introducing MetaSaint, a revolutionary project where the hope and love of Christ meet the metaverse generation. Did you know that the Roblox platform transcends mere gaming? It's a bustling digital universe with over 70 million users a day. This is an incredible opportunity to share the gospel with young people. Do your children or grandchildren play Roblox? Tell them to start playing MetaSaint, where they will have an interactive experience of the gospel like never before. As we pioneer this exciting new frontier of connection and community, we invite you to help us in this groundbreaking mission, our biggest project yet, to ensure the digital spaces can become a place where all can encounter the transformative power of Christ. Together, let's bring the gospel to the metaverse. Visit metasaint.com to learn more.
So as we take this opportunity now to listen to the gospel, to open our hearts to the word of God, the Lord who speaks to us as we prepare for the upcoming Sunday gospel, let's ask for an open heart. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your presence and for your love, that you invite us here to listen to your word and to be transformed by it. Lord, inspire our hearts, our minds. Let us listen to what you have to say so that we may be changed and changed forever for all eternity. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, and we thank you, Lord, that today you're going to speak to us. We ask your blessing and your peace on us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So this Sunday's gospel is from Luke. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 48. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Resurrection. And it's interesting how we get a lot of clues of what the resurrection looks like, that Jesus rose from the dead. But here's the news, that you will also rise from the dead. Your body will also rise from the dead. For many years, the church had a bit of reluctance to allowing cremation. Do you know if the Catholic Church allows cremation or not?
It does.
I think it does.
It does, yes. So the church allows cremation because we know that if God is able to take a decomposed body, he's able to take a body that is made into ashes. Here's the condition, though. The church does not allow us to store those ashes on our shelves and in our houses. So it has to be buried. We need to bury those ashes. Why am I mentioning all of this? I'll get to the point eventually. Mm-hmm. But another thing is that all of us needs to be cremated and all of us needs to be kept together. So you can't take some ashes and share them out to family members. So this is what the church teaches us about cremation, burial, that we're cremated and all of us are buried. And why do I say this? Because we believe also in the resurrection as well, so that our bodies, that cremated body, that decomposed body, will also rise from the dead. And we're going to have the same features that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. And he gives us a few things in today's gospel, which I find quite interesting, about what a resurrected body will look like. Here's, for example, the question that people ask us is, ask me sometimes, is, "Father, when I go to heaven, will my husband, my wife recognize me? Because I've aged, she died 20 years ago, I'm 20 years older now, will she recognize me?" What do we get from here? Yeah, that yes, in some way we will be unrecognizable. Okay, at first, Mary Magdala and Salome and the others didn't recognize Jesus. They thought he was the gardener, and they had spent a lot of time with him. So maybe he was more symmetrical, maybe he was more handsome, I don't know. But he was perfect at that point, okay? So, because it was resurrected body. So they didn't recognize him straight away. But and then, through the conversation, they recognized who he was. So we know that our bodies will be slightly different. There was this book of this young boy who died and went to heaven.
Yes.
What's that called?
I don't know, but it was yellow.
Yes.
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 Oh, what's it called?
So that's...
Heaven is real.
There's a film.
Yes, cool. So in his book, he says that everyone in heaven was about 30 years old. Actually, do you know why?
That's the when Jesus died.
Yes, so Jesus died and rose at the age of 33. So everyone was around 33. So they say the perfect age will be 33.
This is what we're going to look like, Destiny. You better sort that hair out.
I don't want black hair now. Give me highlights.
So you'll be in this heavenly state, this perfect state where you will be recognized. The second thing that is, you're able even, and Jesus says that we will come, the bodies will rise even here on earth, and a new heaven, new earth. But we can walk through walls. How awesome is that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so because Jesus walked through walls, so we know we will be able to walk through walls. And we can enter into one place into another, maybe teleportation sort of.
Wow.
So we can bilocate as well. We know from, like, for example, Padre Pio and some other saints that were able to bilocate, okay? Another thing that we know is that we can eat. He ate boiled fish. So,
look, is it going to be exclusively broiled fish or can we eat other
Well,
things?
We know two times of the reference to fish, it included fish both times. The both times he ate was the barbecue when he called John from, you remember from the fishing, he says, do you love me? Those they ate fish and he ate fish again. So we know Jesus was at least, the resurrected body, at least is pescatarian. At least it's not just vegetables.
Great omega-3.
Okay, so we know that that we can eat and that we're going to eat at least fish. Okay, and then there's another thing that's quite interesting is that we retain scars. You know, well, what does that mean? That the scars of life, like the Jesus' wounds on his hand and his feet, they were still there even in the resurrected body. So maybe we retain certain scars. Why? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. But Jesus did retain his. And so there's a possibility that we will retain ours some way, somehow. And maybe a reminder of the resurrection. Maybe this, we don't know scientifically, but we do know these certain things, which I find interesting. And the fact that I think that he ate with them, that he walked through the walls, that he retained the scars, was also proof to the apostles that he was not a phantom, that he was not a ghost.
Yeah.
Because the fish was actually being eaten and the scars were there.
But with that, the disciples were literally right in front of Jesus. Well, Jesus was right in front of the disciples. They saw him. They were able to touch him. They were able to eat with him, but they still couldn't believe it. And I want to say that the doubts of these disciples have helped the faith of future generations. I want to share a quote from St. Augustine. It says this. It says, "It was incredible, and they had to be persuaded of the truth of it, not only by their eyes, but by their hands too, so that through the bodily senses, faith might come down into the heart. And faith coming down into the heart might be preached throughout the world to people who neither saw nor touched and yet believed." And so if these disciples, they were doubting what was literally right in front of them, and that had to come, what they were seeing had to come into their heart. But what did that enable them to do? It enabled them to be able to preach with more conviction for generations to come. So those doubts have shaped the faith of the future generations.
Yeah. And the peace that we're talking about here isn't a nice feeling. Like the peace that Jesus, you know, brings, peace who he is, really, because when he says peace be with you, it's not just a greeting. He is peace itself present among them. But I think it's important to distinguish between the peace of this world and the peace that comes with who Jesus is and Jesus being with us. I think everyone wants peace, and that's why we see it manifesting in so many conversations in every corner of society's discussions, in spiritualities, in becoming at peace with yourself, and in, you know. But that peace really is dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent and contingent on things really going well for us. And as soon as things don't go well, it's like, uh-oh, it all comes crumbling down. But God's peace, who Jesus is, as the peace that we truly actually long for, means that even if the whole world is against us, it really doesn't matter. That he has overcome the world, he is with us, he is for us, and he is advocating for us. And his peace transcends all of that. So you can actually be standing amidst chaos in your life and you can choose peace. You can choose to draw closer to Jesus, who is that peace. And just superficially, like yesterday as I was preparing for this, there was some chaos in my life. There was some pretty heavy stuff going on, and I'm preparing for this podcast. And this is how the podcast ministers to me every week. I feel so thankful that the Lord is this merciful to me, that he would use the podcast to minister to me. But a lot of chaos going on in my life, and I was like, hang on. Like, I'm literally reading, like, peace be with you. I had to get up and get out of where I was, and I went for a walk, and I just had to keep saying over myself, like, God is bigger than this. Like, God is still good despite this. God can move in this. God will move in this. And sometimes you have to move towards peace. You're sitting in the chaos, and sometimes you have to actually get up and move towards peace, because just as he stood among his disciples, he is standing among us at every moment, and he is that peace. And for me, and maybe it's just me, kind of need to shuffle my butt closer to him, because the chaos can push me away. The stress can push me away from him. So, yeah, peace be with you. He meant it. And it means so much more than the worldly peace, perhaps, that we sometimes mistakenly search for.
Also understanding that peace is a choice. Peace is something we have to choose. And it comes as complex as stepping away from a circumstance, a situation, a broken relationship. Mm. But also as simple as giving up an argument and not trying to be the winner in the argument for the sake of your inward peace, not for the peace of the situation, because sometimes it's not about burying the situation under the carpet. But at the end of the day, is winning this argument as important as my peace, as valuable as my peace? Is keeping this job and this income worth the cost of my peace? Is this type of lifestyle, this type of relationship that I'm living, the joy I'm getting, the excitement, is it worth the peace that it is stealing from my life? So peace very often is a choice. And very often, and I'd say 90% of the time, it's about choosing Jesus, choosing the heart of Jesus. And that's what it means to choose peace. I think they're interchangeable in many ways. Now, here's what I'm not meaning, is that in order to keep the peace, I'm not talking about keeping the peace. That's different.
Yeah.
Keeping the peace in the house, keeping the peace, making sure that there's no argument, that's not what I'm talking about. It's about choosing peace. Sometimes to choose peace, you have to go to war. Mm. Uh-huh. Mm. Sometimes to choose peace, you have to go to war, to fight for something that is rightfully yours, to fight for justice, to fight for the will of God, to fight for what you know is wrong in your household. And you do have to go to war. And there is going to be that feeling of a loss of peace. But at the end of the day, that going to war is choosing peace. So this is where peace sometimes is complex.
Totally.
It's easy as letting go of an argument, but as complex as going to war for long-term peace.
That's really profound. There's a lot in there. I think it's important that we truly understand and that we truly reflect on the questions that you've posed there, because we can skim past really profound moments to choose God, to choose peace. So, maybe I just got a lot out of that. But
that was awesome.
Yeah, but I think, and peace also comes with waiting. Think about the apostles as well, that peace comes with obedience. And obedience sometimes is waiting. So he tells the apostles to stay in Jerusalem, wait for me here, and I will come. I'll send you my Holy Spirit upon you. But there's an emptiness. There's a tenebrae. There's this death. And it's so hard to stay in that tenebrae and to stay in that place of prayer when you don't want to pray, that place of retreat when you don't want to go on retreat, that place of stillness when you don't want to be still. But God says, peace, be still, because in that place, that is a war in itself as well, fighting to stay in that stillness. And this is what these apostles had to do. They had to do three things. One is to obey Jesus and by staying in Jerusalem. Now we know that some didn't, like Peter left, and we know that those on the road to Emmaus, they left. But did God abandon them, say, no, you've left, too bad? No, he still met them on the way to Emmaus. But for those who did stay, they received the Holy Spirit. They received Pentecost. So there's one, obedience to stay. The second is to wait. And sometimes waiting is war, waiting is torment. But you see, God, waiting is not wasting time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about those 30 minutes you've decided to pray that you feel like you're talking to the wall. That is not a waste of time.
Right.
That is active waiting. That is waiting for the Lord. That is a time of generosity towards God that he's going to give you in peace as well. Okay. So, and then the third thing is to receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit in that place of waiting. Expect the Holy Spirit and know that without the Holy Spirit, we have nothing. So in that place of waiting, in that place of warring, in that place of obedience, there we find the will of God, the will of the Spirit, and which is not easy. It's really not easy to keep that peace.
No way. I hate to change the subject, but I want to bring out something that was mind-blowing for me in this gospel, and that's the significance of bread and fish. So the meal with fish that Jesus has in this gospel, it's complemented by the meal that was shared at Emmaus. And what happened at Emmaus, Jesus was recognized in the breaking of the bread. So we've got this bread and we've got this fish. And I want us to think back a little bit to where we might have seen bread and fish before in the Gospels. And that's the feeding of the 5,000. And so we know the feeding of the 5,000, it kind of preempts the Eucharist. And at this feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is the host of the meal. But in these two instances, it's kind of flipped around because the apostles are the hosts of the meal at Emmaus and here as well in Jesus' appearance at Jerusalem. What does this mean? I think this signifies that the apostles had a role in the early church because they were the ones who were going to go on and celebrate the Eucharist in memory of Jesus, which is what he instructed them to do at the Last Supper. So, mind blown. I love connections. I'm sure someone who's listening to this loves this as well. I just had to share that.
And it's a beautiful that the apostles are preempting through becoming the ministers of the bread and the distribution of the bread of life, basically. Mm. So that's a beautiful, beautiful gift. So now what we're going to do is we're going to listen to an interview, Dr. Joanna. Dr. Joanna's an incredible witness. She's someone who's waited for the Lord, someone who's obeyed the Lord, someone who's also received the Holy Spirit. And you can see the way she speaks and the way she's bold and courageous in what she does. She often speaks about topics that are quite controversial, and she receives a lot of persecution for what she does. But yet she continues as a doctor, as an evangelist, to continue to share this truth, this countercultural truth with the world. So we're going to listen to Augie, and he's going to interview her. And hopefully we'll have some time to learn and to be bold, to be courageous, as Dr. Joanna is.
In the heart of our ministry lies the generosity of our ICON ministry partners and donors. It's because of you that our online masses, courses, podcasts, TV programs, school, youth, and parish outreach efforts extend their reach to millions of people worldwide. Your ongoing support allows us to spread the love of Jesus and his message of hope far and wide. Please prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, whether through a one-time donation or as an ongoing ministry partner. Your contribution makes a world of difference. Together, let's illuminate every corner of the earth with His love. Visit iconministry.com/support to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. This is Augie, and I have another amazing guest with us, Dr. Joanna Howe. Thank you so much for jumping onto the podcast. Can you share a little bit about your backstory, you know, who you are and what you're about?
Sure. So lovely to be here, Augie. Thanks for having me on. My name is Jo. I'm a professor of law at the University of Adelaide. I live here with my five kids. So we've got kids aged between 3 to 13. So my husband, James, and I have been pretty busy over the last 14 years that we've been married for.
I have three. And when I saw you had five, I was trying to carry the ones and the zeros in my head. And I was like, wow, that's a massive effort.
It was never part of the plan. When I was growing up in Sydney, I was pretty ambitious and always knew that I kind of wanted to conquer the world. When I was 4 years old and asked what I wanted to be, I said, I want to be prime minister. So that's the kind of person I was, school captain, Ducks, went to Sydney University, awesome. Rhodes Scholarship. And so I was pretty driven, but in my early 20s was kind of when I started to get into my faith. Actually, at the age of 18, I had kind of a conversion moment where I was at this Christian camp and just really powerfully felt God reach in, and I said kind of my first real prayer and opened my heart to Him. And I guess my life kind of changed from that point onwards. Not like fireworks, but, you know, I turned 41 this year, and so that'll be like over 20 years living as a Christian, as a practicing Catholic. And, you know, that sort of did temper my ambition a little bit, in that I think God made me this way to be excited about the world and wanting to contribute. But having faith maybe put it into perspective a little bit and sort of made me realize I'm not living for myself, I'm living for others, and to kind of surrender my future. So somewhere along the way I met my husband and, you know, the rest is kind of history. But, yeah, we have a pretty exciting, busy kind of life here in Adelaide, but I also love it. I wouldn't stop it.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I just see online you're a massive advocate for life in the womb, and you just create a lot of content just speaking on what's going on in the political space in Australia. But you spend a lot of your time and a lot of your effort touching specifically on life in the womb. Can you share a little bit about the heart behind that, where we're at currently in the country of Australia, and just how listeners can get involved and get behind all the amazing work that you're doing?
Thanks, Obi. So I will confess that when I was 20, I was pro-choice, and I thought women needed abortion in order to be empowered. I totally bought into that kind of feminist lie that for women to be equal to men, they needed to be able to kill their children in utero. And I'd never really thought about what that meant, but this guy challenged me on the issue, and he asked me some questions like, how, you know, he sort of said like, how can you be for abortion when it kills a human being? And I was like, well, it doesn't kill a human being. I've never really thought about what happened. And he sort of said, well, why is it not a human being? If its parents are human, then clearly what's inside the mother must be human. And, you know, he also said, you know, if it's growing, it's therefore alive. So how can you kill a living human being? And, you know, these questions were really tough for me to answer. But I then went on a journey where I researched the issue, and I realized that every abortion killed a distinct, unrepeatable human being, and that it could never be okay, and that for women to be equal, there had to be another way. And so part of my background, Augie, is I'm an employment lawyer. I teach employment law and migration law at Adelaide. And I realized that, you know, for women to truly be equal in the corporate world, corporations would need to give women more supports, like meaningful support, like maternity leave and flexible working and other kinds of things that would enable women to have children and build their career at the same time. Now, I didn't actually plan ever to speak on abortion publicly. Like, that was not part of the plan. Like, I think I knew by my mid-20s that this was a really grave and serious issue, but I didn't think it was me that would have to speak about it. I hoped that it would be other people. But in 2021, South Australia legislated abortion up to birth. And so at that point, I was an associate professor of law. I just had my fifth child. And I literally sat in the parliament and watched our politicians debate whether it was okay to kill a baby right up until term. And I'd had children, five children by that point, seeing the ultrasound. My second child had been born at 37 weeks. And I knew from the data that in Victoria, under those same kind of laws, a baby had been killed at 37 weeks and the mother was perfectly healthy. The baby had been killed for a psychosocial reason. And, you know, my heart just kind of sank so low when I watched the parliament debate this and then vote for it. And I called the train home. It was about 11 p.m. at night from the city, and I just actually cried the entire 40-minute train journey because I just could not believe that in Australia this was legal, that we weren't in the streets about it. And so I did open my heart to start thinking about, well, what is my role in all of this? And, you know, 18 months later, I started posting to social media every day on the issue of abortion. And, you know, I didn't know what that would look like, what effect it would have. I think that's the thing, like, you don't know how things are going to go. But within 18 months on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, you can follow me at Dr. Joanna Howe. Maybe you can put the links up for people, Augie. But yeah, I've reached over 5 million people in Australia just in 18 months on the issue of abortion. And all I'm doing is posting a daily video, asking questions. I'm not trying to bulldoze people. I recognize that, you know, even some of our listeners, Augie, may have had abortions. One in four women in Australia will. And that's because they've been lied to. They don't know what it is, you know. They don't understand the reality of human life in utero because we're not told any of this. And when you go to get an abortion, you don't get any of this information, any of the information about how it harms women. So that's why you know, I think because it got so extreme was what tipped me over the edge to start doing this. It has been controversial. I think I've counted about six attempts in the last 18 months to cancel me. You know, wow. Politicians writing to my vice chancellor to try and get me sacked. I'm actually under investigation at the moment. You know, like, it's just insane people don't want to disagree with the substantive argument that I'm raising. They're just trying to eliminate me as a professor of law. But my university is standing by my right to academic freedom. And I am finding that my students outside of the classroom are really interested in having the conversation with me, and people's minds and their hearts are being changed through this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love just stumbling across your content. I feel like it gives a lot of people in this country a voice, or at least their voice, where, you know, it can be kind of scary to share your public opinion about these type of stuff, or you're scared of the backlash, or the other side is so loud. And so what if I'm the fish that's out of water and I'm actually the one that's wrong? But then when there's somebody who just really stands up and just very confidently affirms the truth, or, you know, just you know, combats that way of thinking, it just gives a lot of people, I don't know, it's just so interesting how people just are drawn to that style of content, because it's there's something inside of their heart that goes, man, this is exactly what I'm thinking, but there's just no one else saying it. And I really love how you know, you're holding people accountable, and it's that's the biggest thing, is, you know, it's important that us as the public hold people accountable, and I feel like you help people do that.
I feel like I've been given a lot in my life, like so many opportunities. I got to go to Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar and do a PhD in law. And those skills are now being used to help me bring out the truth on this issue. You know, I've even been able to uncover the issue of babies being born alive and then left to die after an abortion. So people don't realize that this happens, that there is one particular method of an abortion where a baby will actually be born alive, you know, one in two, if we decide to be given up, born alive. And then what that means is they're actually left to die in certain states across Australia because there is no legal right to care. So I uncovered last year, I broke the story of baby Xantha in Queensland at the Royal Brisbane Hospital. She was 19 weeks. So that is pre-viable. The reason the parents had gone in for the abortion was because she had Down syndrome. And the really sad reality is that 9 out of 10 children who get diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. So it's just total ableism in utero, not just disability discrimination, it's disability annihilation, and it's totally wrong. Like, it's really messed up. And yet it's perfectly legal. And so this little girl was born at 19 weeks alive, and they just dumped her on a metal kidney dish in an empty room, and she lay there for 7 minutes without anyone to hold her or just to give her that comfort that she would have wanted and craved in those last 7 minutes of her short life. You know, and actually an academic study that I found and I publicised, I spoke to the Australian Senate about it last year, it looked at 241 late-term abortions. One in two were born alive. The average survival time was 32 minutes, but one baby in that study survived for 267 minutes. So that's 4 hours. And just imagine that, like, you're in utero in the place where you're safest and you just get delivered brutally and then just dumped on a kidney dish without a right to care. So what is happening in our country is really extreme. Yeah. You know, that's after birth when there's no right to equal treatment. And then before birth, the fact that we kill viable, healthy babies, you know, in my own state of South Australia under these new laws, there were 8 children killed after 23 weeks and until 40 weeks. And they what happens is, in that particular type of abortion, the abortionist reaches in with a needle that injects poison into the baby's heart. The baby then has a cardiac arrest without any pain relief given, and is then stillborn. So this is really graphic stuff, albeit for the listeners to hear. But I do think it's important for people to know the truth, because the media doesn't talk about it. And in my content, I do try to do it in a way that is not too confronting, but that it does force people to think about who we're becoming as a country if we allow this to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to create content just for the sake of being polarizing, but it is important to stare evil in the face sometimes and call it for what it is.
It is. I feel like that part of my role is to do this with love. And so I think about that. I'm trying to understand where people are coming from and to think about their arguments in the best possible light. Yeah. But the reality is where we've got to as a country on this issue is just so extreme, and we do need people like me and people who are listening today to step up and raise their voices on it. So my hope is that by doing this, I will demonstrate, particularly to young women, but also to men, because we need men in this fight too, to really demonstrate that we can be courageous and we don't have to be afraid, and that courage begets courage, and we shouldn't be afraid, because ultimately we should trust in the fact that the truth prevails. Like, if we think about some of the gross human rights abuses from our past, such as slavery, such as genocides, ultimately the truth prevails.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question that I have for you, Dr. Joanna. We just finished up a recording with Shalom World TV called What the Church Says, where Father Rob just kind of attacks all of the really difficult questions. Abortion comes up, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, and just all of these hot topics that are in today's society. And I remember just watching Father Rob sort of wrestle while preparing for these talks, but just always emphasizing the importance of even though it's difficult to say these things, it's my responsibility as a priest and his perspective that I have to represent what the church says. And I just wanted to toss the question to you, how important is it to raise your voice and stand up for the truth? I feel like a lot of people may agree or align internally with, maybe the church or maybe a specific political, way of thinking, but we are almost kind of damned by our silence in today's day and age. And so you've obviously made the decision that given your educational background and everything, I'm sure that's a massive factor, but I just can see that you've decided it's important to not be silent in today's day and age. Can you just kind of share for the listener right now, why is it so important to not be silent when it comes to advocating for the truth?
So I actually had a lot of people tell me that I shouldn't do this. I actually had well-meaning Christians who said to me, be in the university sector, be an academic, be a Christian academic, and, that's enough. That's a good witness, and that you're just going to, this is career suicide for you to do this. And I think a lot of young people are probably not just worried about professional implications, but they're worried about social suicide as well, the fact that they may lose friends if they speak out on one of those issues on the side of truth.
Yeah.
But ultimately, where I landed was I want to unleash my voice. I don't want to be someone that is so afraid of what might happen to me that I don't speak the truth. And Martin Luther King, when he was in a Birmingham jail, he wrote a letter to the people that were following him. They didn't have socials in those days, but he had a lot of followers, just real people who were so engaged in what he was doing. But he had been jailed. He was seen as an extremist. And what he was fighting for was this simple proposition that if you were black or white, you should be equal and there shouldn't be segregation. You shouldn't have to sit in separate parts of the bus or go and visit different stores or go to different schools. And it's something we now look back at today and we just think Martin Luther King is a hero. We think that he was on the side of justice and on the side of human rights. But at the time, he was deeply polarizing. He would have lost friends over it. He would have alienated a whole lot of people, including people in his circle and professionally. And when he was writing this letter from the jail cell, he wrote to his followers and he said, what the world needs now more than ever is creative extremists. And I really believe that in 2024, that what we really need is young people to rise up and to use all of their creative gifting to set the world on fire. Because when we're silent, when there is grave injustice, then we are complicit. And I realized that. I realized that, I could be living my good life, having my good salary in my nice home with my lovely husband and my kids, but ultimately, the call is more radical than that, the call to truth and to hope and to believe. And yes, there are going to be costs, but ultimately I will say to listeners, I've actually had far more blessings than I have had costs from doing this, And if the activists succeed in cancelling me and I lose my job, well, so be it. Because, I just think that at the end of the day, that will really expose them and that will be a lightning rod then for the pro-life movement in Australia, because we will see that, a young woman speaks out on the issue of abortion and she gets sacked for it. And I think that we do need sometimes to bear the scars and have the cost in order to inspire others. You know, Martin Luther King was jailed, but ultimately we look back at, on him as a hero. There will be costs that young people like you and me and people listening will have to face, but there will also be tremendous blessings. So my university promoted me to professor after I started speaking out. The government, so Minister Claire O'Neill, appointed me to review the migration program as one of three expert reviewers. You know, I got my first Australian Research Council linkage grant. All of this happened after I started speaking out about abortion. So I do believe that sometimes we can just be so scared about what might happen. But if we just trust and have hope and faith that ultimately it will actually all work out. So I don't approach the issue on abortion from a religious perspective, but I am religious. One of the Bible verses that really speaks to me is Romans 8:28, all things work for the good of those who love them. So I take heart in that. I take heart in I know the plans I have for you. You know, I take heart in the fact that we have the absolute truth on our side. This is the human rights issue of our generation. None of us can afford to be silent when there is a voiceless group of people, 88,000 every year in Australia, who are having their bodies ripped apart in utero in a violent, brutal way, and it's a silent massacre that's happening every day in our country. So, you know, I just really encourage people to feel the fear, but to do it anyway.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your heart on this podcast, Dr. Joanna, and I pray that everything going on with you're saying with the investigation goes well. I remember I was seeing a post, it was a few weeks back, where you said something along the lines of, I'm only advocating for this stuff part-time right now. If something happens, I'm going to be full-time. And so then you guys better watch out. And I love that. I love that fight that you have for this and you know, for everything.
Hey?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much again. Thank you for jumping on the podcast.
Thank you, Obi. It was a pleasure.
So it's always a joy and a pleasure to listen to people who are able to step outside of their comfort zone. I pray that I have the courage to speak, and all of us here have the courage to speak out even when we're not liked, and even when it doesn't seem right, it doesn't seem comfortable, but choosing peace even in these difficult situations. Thank you once again for joining us for this episode. We're grateful for you, we love you, and we're looking forward to sharing a little bit more with you. And these are ways in which you can stay in touch with us.
Yeah, definitely stay in touch with us, especially in regards to like what the church teaches about certain topics, certain perhaps controversial topics. We do have a series coming out on that really soon. Ooh. That we can't... Look, it's been...
I'm going to get like
crazy. It's been a
little
scary.
I'm scared.
But we're stepping out of our comfort zone.
That's right.
And there's a lot of peace in doing that.
Go team.
We have a new series coming out with Shalom. It's called Weekly with Father Rob. It's called The Church Says, where we'll be exploring a whole bunch of different, perhaps sometimes controversial church topics. And we're going to be delving deep into what the church actually says about these topics. So stay tuned for that. We will give you all the details when they are available. Check out our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. All of those links at our podcast website, CatholicInfluencersPodcast.com. Make sure you check out MetaSaint, our brand new game on Roblox, which is just jumping from height to height. We are so, so excited. Yes. MetaSaint.com.
And if you're able to support our ministry as well, go to iconministry.com/donate. And you also, did I get the website right? iconministry.com/support. And there you're also able to support also this MetaSaint. If you want to help us reach out to more young people, you want to support also our chapel here. We need some items as well for our chapel here. There's so many ways you can reach out also to those who are poor and in need. So go to iconministry.com/support.
We're going to be here again next week, same time, same place, and we hope that you'll join us as well. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you soon. God bless.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.